Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, here it comes.
It's Ben and Woods.
Try to say this nicely. When you look at Ben, Paul, and I, it doesn't scream athlete.
With Ben Higgins.
Bicka, bicka, bow, bow, bow. Bicka, bow, bow, bump, bump. What? Ha, 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 ha. On your mark, ready, set, let's go.
And Stephen Woods.
I want to win. I want to win at all costs. I really do. Other than, you know, lying, cheating, and stealing, I don't want to do that. But whatever it takes to win, I'm willing to do.
Ben and Woods.
Blame it on the Henry.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah!
Apparently, Woods, we are just one symptom of the bigger problem here in town when it comes to the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the bullpen. It's not the offense. It's not the manager or the general manager. It's the soft San Diego media that has held the Padres back year after year.
Old media, not new media. New media is not soft.
No, no, old San Diego, you know, newspaper, radio, television.
Yeah, because of the access.
Had we been tougher, I'm sure we'd be celebrating our, you know, fifth World Series title or something.
Yeah, had you? I mean, you've been here a lot longer than me. I'm going to put it on you. I mean, you've been here a lot longer than I have. I mean, it's your fault. Had you been a bigger hard ass, we'd be the Red Sox.
I'll wear
right
that,
now.
Apparently. It's Ben and Woods. Good Monday morning to you here on 97.3 The Fan. I think this stems from our somewhat defense of Andy Green.
Sure.
The first 2 hours of the show about not putting the blame for this weekend sweep, and in particular, yesterday's 11-10 meltdown of a loss to the Pirates, right on the manager's doorstep. And I just think it would be unfair to do so. I tweeted it yesterday at the end of the game. It's if you're playing blackjack.
California Blackjack. Yeah, shout out 7 Mile.
At 7 Mile Casino, and you get a 10 and a 6, and the dealer turns over a king. What are you going to do?
You got to hit.
You're supposed to hit, yes. But you're probably going to go over and bust and lose. You could also stay, and in which case the dealer's probably going to
get
beat
20.
You with a 20 or a 19 right there or something like that, and you're going to lose as well. That's how I feel Andy Green's bullpen is right now. You could stay with Phil Maton, and you could get in trouble there, or you could go to Matt Whistler, and you can get in trouble that way. But he just doesn't have a lot of good options outside of Kirby Yates. And when you have a game, the first one, by the way, all season, in which Yates blows a save, it's going to look really ugly. It would look ugly for Tony La Russa. It would look ugly for Joe Maddon. Any of the other managers out there who are good bullpen guys can't be good bullpen guys if every guy they bring in struggles. And that's what's going on right now with the Padres.
And, you know, it's based on how the team was constructed. In my opinion, again, this is a humble opinion. Somebody had tweeted in earlier that when I give my analysis on the Padres, we all get dumber. Fine. Like, I watch every game. I obviously read as much as I can about them. I'm very active on Twitter. I see people's frustration. But when you actually take a step back and look, you got three guys with a little bit of major league experience to start the year in the rotation. You got two other guys on, you know, and one of those guys, by the way, coming off an injury and his really first shot in the rotation in Matt Strom. You got two guys that had never pitched above double A in Paddock and Margavich's. You know, Nick's gone. Margavich's is gone. He didn't pitch badly at first, and then he got lit up, and Paddock was even sent down for a while. So it's really, they really weren't set up for success to have a really fresh and effective bullpen from Jump Street. And that's not on Andy Green. He doesn't construct the roster. He does what he can with the guys he has. Now, look, there are valid arguments. I mean, I'm seeing people saying, why did Phil Maton come out for that second inning? I don't know. I don't know the reasoning. Maybe he comes in and Andy goes, hey, how you feeling? You good? You give me one more? Yeah, I got you. I got you, Skip.
I mean,
we'll get you one more.
It was a very quick bottom of the 10th inning for Phil Maton. You know, he didn't use a ton of pitches.
Yep.
He looked effective. If I'm Andy Green, I can defend that decision. Hey, the guy worked through the bottom of the 10th, got through it quickly. Why would I take him out and go with an unknown quantity?
And
throw
if he had
Matt
thrown,
Whistler
if,
in there,
if he had gone with Matt Whistler, who again struggled with a little bit of control,
he
there
gave up hit two walk and two hits and four batters.
Yeah. So if you go with Matt Whistler there, I don't know. Maybe it works. It's so easy
in hindsight. If he had gone with Matt Whistler to start the
inning, he would have gotten killed.
And Whistler had given up four runs and lost the game. I would have been sitting here going, why did you take out Phil Maton?
Why didn't you just roll with Maton? He finally looked like he was
in the bottom of the 10.
Yeah, I know.
He's damned if he does and damned if he doesn't.
Right, exactly right.
When the players don't perform up to expectations, it's Andy Green's fault.
Correct.
When the players do, you know, when Manny Machado hits a three-run home run, it's Manny Machado's fault. And when Manny Machado makes an error, it's somehow Andy Green's fault.
So here's the bad news that I decided I was going to break this morning to everyone in San Diego, especially those who are still kind of holding out hope for a second-half run and a wild-card berth, chance to make the playoffs. Here's why I don't think it's happening, and I don't think it ever was going to happen. Padres are improved this year. They're giving us reason for excitement. They're a better team. They don't do the one thing you need to do to be a playoff team, in my opinion, in Major League Baseball. They don't win any easy games. They don't blow anyone out. I went back and looked through the entire results of the year, Woods, and the Padres have only won, I think it's six games by more than three runs this year. If you are expecting to go to the playoffs, you need a few laughers. You need one or two wins a week, you know, at least four or five a month, where you're going to say, hey, we're winning 7-1. We're not even using any of our good bullpen guys, and it's a victory. Padres aren't getting blown out, which is an improvement over where they've been the last few years. They're not getting blown out of the water in many games, which is terrific. But you can't sustain an entire season by winning one and two and three-run games. And the vast majority, you know, 85 to 90% of Padres wins are those high-leverage, you know, it's not just bullpen innings. And you came with a good stat. You said the Padres are 15th in overall bullpen usage this year. But so many of those innings are high leverage.
Oh, massively.
One run up, one run down, two runs up, two runs down. There's no easy innings where the Padres, they were up 9-0. That's fine. And then sometimes when they got up big, the bullpen let those teams back into it, creating more high leverage innings at the end of the game. In my mind, to be a playoff team, you have to be able to crew. Look at the Dodgers. They're cruising.
Now they did have to
victories.
Hit three walk-offs weekend, which was, you know, it's a long season. Weird things are going to happen. You're going to sweep a first place team. You're going to get swept by a last place team. You know, it's so feast or famine. It feels like with this team,
But 98, you know, 84, you know, I remember the Padres would open up a can and just kick some butt occasionally, and they don't do that this year. They're not kicking any butt. They're winning some great, intense, close, exciting games.
Some magical comebacks. It's been a blast.
I just think it's too hard to ask that consistently over the course of the season. They're winning a lot of close ones, but they're going to lose some close ones. They just have the feel of a 500 team to me this year.
Of course, which is, you know, it's what we said before the season started. 500 would be a vast improvement. And it's hard not to lose sight of that as a fan. It really is. I'm right there with you. That streak that they started the season off with got me so excited. You know, we all kind of thought, all right, man, this is magical. Then some injuries happen. The bullpen gets a little bit taxed, and it all starts to unravel. But it doesn't really unravel because, you're hovering around 500. To me, it's fun. It's fun. Like, it's been fun to watch. You know, it was really fun watching them sweep the Brewers. And then it was absolutely miserable watching them get swept by the Pirates.
Right. And the Brewers series is what we're looking for. Against a good team, you know, you fight out some wins. Hey, you sweep the series. But the Giants a couple of weeks ago, the Pirates this week, you have to be making hay against the teams that aren't winning teams.
You have to.
And the Padres are winning some of those, but they're still battling. Every single one of those games is coming right down to the wire. No easy wins. That's not a recipe to reach the playoffs at the end of the season.
Now, what do they got?
I think that's a problem.
What do they got with Baltimore? Two games?
Just two.
Two.
You
got
to
win them.
Get back to 500 when you get home against St. Louis. The Cardinals come into town on Friday as the Padres open a six-game homestand against the Cardinals and the Giants. Then you go to the Dodgers for four. So, you know, the schedule's going to get tougher.
Which they'll probably sweep. You know, they'll probably sweep the Dodgers.
Speaking of the two games in Baltimore, though, I imagine this is going to get some national play this week. The storyline, it'll be Manny Machado's return to Baltimore.
Pretty
now,
cool.
It's not quite like Albert Pujols going back to St. Louis like we saw this weekend, where, I mean, the standing ovations got a little ridiculous.
You thought it was too much.
Well,
how about them last night? The Cardinals, I believe they were down two, and the Cardinals fans are cheering for Pujols with the bases loaded. I found that a little bit odd.
I feel like Cardinals fans are like trying to make a point
that they're so good. They're such good fans.
Fans we are, so we're going to do this over and over again. And it's a little disingenuous at some point. Oh, he just hit a home run against our team.
Yay!
Goal for Albert Pujols.
Please hit a grand slam right now. Please hit a grand slam. They were chanting his name. It was very, very...
Look at us. We are such good fans.
We are the best fans in the world.
Look at us. Wow, we are so incredible. How great fans we are.
I can fully support your theory there.
Sounds like a don't do this.
It does, actually.
It does a little bit, which is coming up. But the story, I'm interested to see how much play it's going to get. Manny Machado back to Baltimore. Coming up at 7:35, Rob Long from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore is going to join us and talk a little bit about what that city is kind of expecting. Are they anticipating Manny's return? Is it going to be boos? Is it going to be cheers? What's the reception going to be? What's the storyline going to be? Manny Machado in Baltimore.
I hope they cheer him. I hope they do, and I think they will. Pretty good fans in Baltimore.
I mean, Pujols left for a major deal somewhere else.
Yeah.
He got cheered.
But Manny, of course, I think
when
Manny...
Kevin Brown left for the Dodgers, but it was just one season with the Padres. He got booed when he returned.
I think Manny wanted to stay in Baltimore. You know, I think he would have been happy finishing his career there.
They weren't interested in paying the going rate.
Yeah, exactly. And so in my opinion, there's no way that guy should be booed in Baltimore.
Don't Do This is coming up next. Three sports stories that make you shake your head. Woodsy?
Oh, yeah. I've got some beef in Major League Baseball between an old white broadcaster and a person of color, a pitcher of color, if you will.
Sounds typical.
Sounds
for Don't Do This.
Familiar?
I'll get to that coming up in a moment.
Don't Do This.
I got a little surprise for you, you know what I'm saying?
Don't do this.
Listen, if I've said something bad, I mean, tell me I'm a bad boy. You know, just tell me I'm a bad boy.
Why? Just why?
I get the argument. You don't have to explain it to me. I'm not a moron.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Don't Do This.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This brought to you by EcoWater Water Systems. EcoWater Water Systems provide crystal clear, really, really, really clean water for your home or business. Find them at EcoWater. That's ecowatersd.com. Benny, I will get us going today on Don't Do This. It's basically three stories from athletes, managers, general managers, that it just shouldn't happen, right? Things should not happen, right?
Yeah. Basically, if you just stopped and thought for a second, how's this gonna sound?
How's it gonna look?
Maybe you'd make a different decision.
I'm dying. I'm dying right now. Le'Veon Bell, this was amazing. I don't even know if this is a Don't Do This. This is fantastic, actually. We should all be so lucky.
Well, fantastic in a costly sense.
Yes. I mean, it cost him a pretty penny. So there was a 911 call over the weekend from Le'Veon Bell, Jets running back. He called the police and told the police in South Florida that two women known to him took more than $500,000 in jewelry from his home when he went to the gym. So
known to him in the biblical sense?
Known to him in the biblical sense. So here's what he said to the police. Well, I had two girls in my house. I got up. I did my normal routine to go work out. So I left the workout for a couple hours. I came back. They took my money. They took my watch, my jewelry, a couple more of my things of value out of the house. I don't know where they're at. I tried to call them before I called you guys. I tried to call them, and they're not answering me. All right, so Mr. Bell, can you describe what they were wearing when you left? Well, when I left, she was in the bed not wearing clothes. So I didn't see her when she left the house. Well, what about the other woman? Well, she was the same way. She was in bed, too. They didn't have clothes on. Dude, it is...
All points bulletin out for two nude women with...
carrying a lot of jewelry.
Loads of cash and jewelry.
Imagine calling the cops, and you think it's a good idea, because you need to report what just happened. And then you're like, they're like, sir, how many women? There was actually two. Well, what were they doing there? Well, they were nude in my bed. It just, I was like, in my mind, because I'm a creep, I thought, what a G.
I feel like it'd be like, sir, what was the woman's name? And he goes, which woman?
Yeah, which woman?
Wait, I'm sorry, what was that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
they're both.
There were two.
When I got up to go to the gym, here's something that's never happened to me. I woke up, number one, to go to the gym. That's never happened. Number two, with two nude women in my bed. And number three, having $500,000 worth of jewelry lying around the house. So, Le'Veon Bell, I guess don't do this. Like,
I say do this.
But also do
is
this.
That breaking and entering, to be sure.
No, it's not B&E.
I hope he knows enough about the women that if he needed to point the police in the direction, he could.
That would be the other problem. Like, I don't know.
Last name? Don't know. Where do they live? Don't have any idea.
I mean, he's clearly got their phone number, one of them, so that's good. So maybe he can get his jewelry back.
Maybe the don't do this is the women, that it's going to take them 5 seconds to track her down. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was you. It was pretty obvious you did it.
Lord have mercy.
Thank you, Cube. Before I get to my don't do this, our biggest fan, 30 minutes or less from now, hope you're listening in. We will pick another name out of our hopper in the next 30 minutes, and our biggest fan's going to win 4 tickets to see Trace Adkins at the San Diego County Fair, movie passes at the Ultra Star Cinemas in Mission Valley. Biggest fan coming up in the next 30 minutes. If you have not registered yet, go to 973thefansd.com. and get your name in the hopper for our biggest fan contest. But we will take another name coming up in the next 30 minutes. All right, my don't do this goes to Nationals outfielder Adam Eaton. I always get confused on that one because the Padres used to have a pitcher named Adam Eaton back in the early 2000s, who I enjoyed, but had a very mediocre short career. Adam Eaton, the outfielder, has actually had a decent veteran career and has made a lot of money in the big leagues, but he is not about spreading that wealth down to the minor leagues. The current push that I would say among baseball players for better working conditions in the minor leagues is not exactly shared by Adam Eaton, who was doing an interview with a Washington City paper reporter when he added his opinion. He said, well, you know, if you do start paying minor leaguers more, complacency sets in. I think it's difficult, yes, and it's easy for me to say that because where I am, but I wouldn't be where I am without that. If I financially am supported down there and financially can make a living and not have to get to the big leagues, I think I'm a little more comfortable. I think I might not work as hard because I know I'm getting a decent paycheck every 2 weeks, may not push myself nearly as hard.
Amazing.
Yeah, it seems a little tone deaf from a guy who's now making millions in the big leagues to be denying minor leaguers the chance to just like make enough to put a roof over their heads and, you know, if they have a family, to be able to feed their family. That is not a great look for Adam Eaton.
Maybe they can get to the big leagues, get giant contracts, and then grind it out for the last 3 years like Adam Eaton has. Like, man, you want to talk about a grinder. 2017, that guy played 23 games in the big league, still got his entire paycheck, a multi-million dollar paycheck. The year after that, Ben, jumped up to a whopping 95 games. Just incredible. Like, the resiliency and the toughness of Adam Eaton is shocking to me.
An overpaid underperformer.
1,000%. Adam Eaton having a pretty decent year this year. He's played in 74 games, so he's reaching right around that time of year where he'll get hurt and you won't see him again. But he's not giving that money back, is he? He's going to keep that money that he gets because he earned it by slogging through the minor leagues.
He wouldn't have gotten here.
He wouldn't have gotten there.
Underpaid in the minors.
And he deserves it.
That's why he got to the big leagues.
That 23 games he played that year is really, really staggering. And then I'm going to get us wrapped up here on Don't Do This with Blue Jay. It's actually not against Blue Jay starter Marcus Stroman, but it's about Dennis Eckersley, who calls games, I believe, on Nesson for the Red Sox. Stroman on the bump yesterday. Stroman is a guy that he's boisterous, you know. He celebrates.
Padres saw him earlier this season when they went to Toronto.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good pitcher.
Yes.
He's a good pitcher. I like Marcus Stroman, and I love what he does social media-wise. He's always kind of out there. He's always willing to be open and honest. Sometimes a little bit too vulnerable, I feel like. But he was having a good game and had a big strikeout and celebrated and just yelled, yeah! Yeah! You could hear him say, yeah! Dennis Eckersley took exception to this and called his act tired. Well, that, of course, got back to Marcus Stroman, who tweeted, I don't know, maybe the greatest rebuttal of all time. It's an old 30 for 30, and they're talking about Eckersley. And George Brett says, you know who I hated? I hated Dennis Eckersley. He's like, F that guy. He goes, that guy would strike you out, and then he would point at you, pump his fist. And so Stroman tweets that out and just says, hypocrite. How do you, like, how, if you're Eckersley, how do you say that's a tired act when you are one of the most boisterous, flamboyant closers of all time? That George Brett was like, I effing hate that guy. And then Eckersley says in the same piece, what am I supposed to do? Wave over there? Hey, guy, how's the wife and kids? No, you just let these kids do exactly what you did when you were playing. So just another old grumpy white guy complaining about the kids today. It's,
I guess,
so
once
annoying.
Once you become a Red Sox broadcaster, you got to be all in. And anything anyone on any other team does is the worst.
Well, and apparently, I mean, there are guys on the Red Sox.
Yeah,
David Price tried to kill Eckersley last
year. Eckersley's not criticizing his own players.
It's amazing.
The Red Sox like that, for sure. Don't do this on a Monday with Ben and Woods.
Oh, yes, and don't do this by EcoWater Water Systems. Great-tasting, crystal-clear, odor-free, virtually contaminant-free water for drinking, bathing, and cooking. EcoWater Water System, really, really clean water. Find them at EcoWater, ECOWaterSD.com.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, when we come back, Manny Machado is back in Baltimore. The Padres are off today but have a two-game series against the Orioles. How will Manny be received in his return? We'll talk with Rob Long from the Big Bad Morning Show on 105.7 The Fan. How come we don't have a cool name like the Big Bad Morning Show?
I mean, we can change it if you want, but we've already been branding Ben and Woods.
That's true. That'd probably be a mistake to change at this point. That's coming up next with Ben and Woods, the overly good, not tough enough morning show on 97.3 The Fan. Just scanning through the Baltimore Orioles roster here, Woodsy, during the break.
I wonder if I can name five Orioles.
You can't.
Really?
No.
All right, Chris Davis.
Here's one.
Andrew Kashner.
There's two. Those would be the two I would have gotten as well. This is I know it's an American League team. You don't know much about this.
I'm choking right
this
now.
This is as anonymous.
I've seen them play a bunch
that I've seen in a long time. We're going to talk about the Orioles and the Manny Machado's return to Baltimore. The Padres.
Brad Brock.
I think he's on the DL because I don't see him right now on the pitchers list.
Damn it,
former Padre. We'll talk about it with Rob Long from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. I mean, Jimmy Yacobonis, Renato Nunez, Hanser Alberto,
Dylan Bundy.
Dylan Bundy was a high draft pick.
Ooh, okay,
I do. Kind
he's
of
actually having
him.
A decent year
yeah,
for
I,
Baltimore.
I kind of remember him, but This is a rough team. They are 22-56.
That's bad.
They are 27.5 games behind the Yankees in the AL East.
That is
we're
bad.
Not even to the midway point of the season yet.
That's bad, bad. This is the kind of rough year.
I know it's just two games and it's baseball. Anything can happen. And the Orioles did beat the Mariners on Saturday. It's their only win in their past 12 games.
God.
This is like, Padres, you've got to win both of these games. At least salvage two in the road trip. You come back at 500. I don't want to put any undue pressure on the Padres, but
you got to win them.
You're missing Kashner. He pitched over the weekend, so you're not going to see. It's no old friend alert.
Who will they see?
So let's see. The pitching matchup, at least according to this, they are going to get Dylan Bundy on Wednesday.
He's been pretty good.
Josh Rogers.
Never heard of
him. Lefty will pitch in tomorrow's series opener.
Oh, God. We're going to lose both these, aren't we?
Logan Allen and Matt Strom, I believe, are going to be going for the Padres.
Okay.
In the series. So, yeah, you just can't. You've got to get a couple of wins in this series against the against the Orioles. I don't know. I mean, how is Manny Machado going to be received? We're going to find out, trying to catch up with our guest, Rob Long, from 107.5.7 The Fan in Baltimore in just a second. We've been accused of being a little soft on the Padres after getting swept over the weekend.
And then being defensive about it. I don't think we're defensive. I think that it's an old, tired narrative, you know, that it just wears you out off after a while. But I don't know. I think it can drive you crazy, right? Like, they just swept the Brewers, okay, the first-place Brewers. So we would come in, obviously, and be like, hey, that was a hell of a series. Great job. Then does it sound authentic and genuine to come in here after a three-game sweep of the Pirates and be like, you know what? Fire Balsley, fire Preller, and fire Green. These guys just don't want to win. Well, they just swept the first-place Brewers. That's the thing about this team. They're going to be around 500, hopefully. That's still a big improvement. Nobody was expecting this team to run away with the West. I mean, or really even make the playoffs.
I don't want to sound like an apologist.
It can make you insane.
I came on earlier and I said this is not a good enough team. They're not good enough to make the playoffs this year, as we expected at the beginning of the year, as the Padres really expected at the beginning of the year. They told us beforehand that they thought they were still another year away.
Yeah.
You know, Ron Fowler, we talked to the chairman right before the season started, and they were, you know, looking for improvement in 500, not for a playoff run. They've gotten that so far. So to expect us to be incredibly, you know, critical of where the Padres are at this point, I think is unfair. I got an email, where's the blame for Darren Balsley? Because the pitching staff isn't good. Well, Darren Balsley's been pitching coach for the Padres for what now? You know, about 15 years, getting a lot more out of pitchers that, you know, at least the rest of baseball didn't think were that good.
And had given up on.
And yeah, he's turned around guys like Kirby Yates, and that's just the top of the list.
Brad Hand.
Who have come into San Diego with very little confidence, very little on their resume, and Darren Balsley has helped turn these careers around. I mean, for me to... If I came on the radio this morning and started ripping Darren Balsley because the Padres pitching staff is not very good this year, I feel like I'd look foolish.
I think so, too.
So, I don't know. That to me, I'm trying not to look foolish on the radio. I know it's I fail miserably at it a lot of the time, but really, I would rather not look foolish. And I feel like if I came out this morning and said Andy Green is a terrible manager because he doesn't know what he's doing with the bullpen, and Darren Balsley is a terrible pitching coach because these guys just aren't getting people out, I feel like that would be a foolish take.
I do, too. Morning. And I feel like, you know, if you want Boston Sports Radio, I mean, that's they want to fire Alex Cora. Alex Cora led them to a World Series last year. Absolutely magical season. And they want him gone. I mean, you hear people like, yeah, he needs to go. It's like, really? Like, you're 6 months removed from hoisting a World Series trophy. You want to fire Alex Cora? I mean, it's been weird. Like, the Red Sox, they were healthy and they were losing games. Their bullpen is a dumpster fire, too. But, like, Jeff, you're a Red Sox fan. Would you want to fire Alex Cora?
Not at all.
Not a bit. You would sound like a dumbass. If you came in here, we would sound moronic. You know, when Manny wasn't hitting. And listen, there is that contingent of fans that's never going to be happy. Unless you go 162-0 and sweep the playoffs, which will never happen, obviously. But I think that you're right. Like, I don't want to sound dumb by coming in here this morning and being like, you got to fire everybody. I mean, there's a guy on Twitter I'm going back and forth with that's saying Ron Fowler doesn't want to win. He's not a winner. And I'm like, bro, I've sat in that guy's office. That dude wants to win more than any human I know.
He signed a $144 million contract for Eric Hosmer last year and a $300 million contract for Manny Machado this past offseason.
And a $13 million contract for Chase Headley so you can get Brian Mitchell. I mean, he does everything that's asked of him, right?
I think if you want to lay some criticism down on this year's Padres and sound reasonable, they didn't foresee or maybe weren't anticipating enough regression out of their bullpen. First of all, you put Matt Strom in the starting rotation.
Yep, so you lose him.
You're losing one guy out of the bullpen. You traded away Brad Hand in the middle of last season. He was, you know, he pushed everyone back. He pushed Kirby Yates to the eighth, who pushed Stammen to the seventh. Then all of a sudden, Stammen starts struggling. And what was once a good bullpen becomes a mediocre to bad bullpen. And that's really what we've seen. Those were a couple of moves that Padres probably could have foreseen. maybe they should have done a little bit more in the offseason, maybe brought in another veteran arm. Now, they did. They added Adam Warren. They added Aaron Loop.
Who got hurt.
You know, he got hurt.
It's just a big, it's a snowball. And I think they're, you know, they're trying to plug the dam, you know, and you plug one hole and the other hole starts, you know, spurting water out and you got to plug that. And it just, it's this snowball effect that's happening with the bullpen right now. And yeah, it sucks. It sucks as a fan. It's real. Yesterday's game was extremely frustrating. Like, that should not happen. It should not happen. You should not blow three-run leads twice. You just shouldn't. You got to win that ball game. You battled, and then you coughed it up. And that's exactly what they did.
Woodsy, it is that time once again here on Ben and Woods to name our biggest fan from 97.3 The Fan. When I give today's name, that fan is going to have 10 minutes to call in at 833-288-0973. And claim today's prize. We've got a 4-pack of tickets to see Trace Adkins at the San Diego County Fair, plus movie passes for Ultra Star Cinemas in Mission Valley. And the big news, if you win, you will be entered in the grand prize drawing for our Las Vegas road trip to the MGM Grand and tickets to see Jabberwocky. So, Leah Sione, S-C-I-O-N-E. You have 10 minutes to call
Sion.
In. Sion. It could be.
Maybe.
833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. Leah, you call in now. Have an opportunity to win the biggest fan contest. Claim the prize package today. Still trying to track down our guest. So as long as he's not here, it gives me an opportunity to talk about another story from the weekend that we haven't seen.
Better not
yet.
Be golf related. That's all I
it
know.
It is not.
All right.
It is actually football related.
All right.
So did you see what Cam Newton did, quarterback for the Carolina Panthers?
I did.
So Cam Newton, and there's a video of it going around, was on a flight and did not have a seat that he really liked. It was a trip, basically. I think it was like a return trip from Paris.
Yeah, like a 10-hour flight.
Yeah, long flight. And Cam Newton offered to pay a fellow passenger on that flight $1,500 to switch seats because he wanted more legroom. And the passenger said, no, won't do it. Not gonna switch seats, not even for $1,500. And the internet went pretty crazy about that this weekend. Most people said, oh my, I would have been so quick, I would have accepted $1,500. Are you kidding me? I would have changed seats with him in a heartbeat. Woods, you just went on a transatlantic flight.
I did.
What would you have done had Cam Newton come up to you and made that offer for $1,500?
Well, I was in business class, so I would have told him to kick rocks. I would have said, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to lay back. I'm going to enjoy my food, and I'm going to curl up in this lovely blanket on this very comfortable pillow and use this eye mask and this hot towel, and I'll see you when we land in San Diego, Cam.
$2,000.
None. No.
$4,000.
$5,000 I would have done it.
$5,000.
Cash. $5,000 would be my number. But $1,500, I'm like, nah, man, it wouldn't have been worth it. Like, it was so comfortable. So comfortable. I mean, I'm not a ball. I was a gift. It was gifted the seat. So.
Now, I'm not sure. Now, was he trying to move up from, like, coach to first class?
I don't know. I have no idea.
That's where I wasn't sure about it, because you look at, like, the price difference
in
transatlantic flight. If you're coach versus first class, it can easily be $1,500 more to move up, you know, from one crowded, packed in, like, sardine section to nice wide seats going back. I mean, you know, we can't all travel like that, but some people have experienced that.
I mean, like,
lean back seat in a long flight.
You're Cam Newton. You've got a lot of dough. Shouldn't you have been dialed in before you ever set foot on that plane? Now, who knows? Maybe he jumped on a standby flight and he lost his first class. I don't know. I don't know the backstory of this, but, you know, for $1,500 in a 10-hour flight.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have no problem with that guy telling him
so,
absolutely not.
The passenger, whose name was Edwards, his last name, Eli Edwards, had just gotten engaged to his girlfriend and was surprised to see Newton traveling in economy rather than first class on the American Airlines flight from Paris to Dallas, Texas. Edwards had originally spotted Newton in the airport due to his bright shirt, trademark hat, not to mention the fact that he's 6'5". said, I noticed him right away at the ticket counter. He came past me. I kind of said hi to him. I think he was trying to go incognito, but his outfit pretty much gave him away. Wasn't expecting him to be on the same flight as me, let alone traveling at the back in economy. Newton was traveling with a companion, but did not seem happy with his assigned seat. I saw Cam Newton go up to a gentleman, asked him if he'd be willing to trade seats for the extra legroom for the 10-hour flight. Man with extra legroom was also traveling with two people sitting next to him, so declined to give up his seat. I mean, I don't know. I see it doesn't say if that guy was in first class, because there are those economy seats with a little more legroom as opposed to the ones that are really crowded in the back. And then there's first-class seats. Now, I would not have given up a first-class seat for $1,500.
No chance.
Maybe like
$3,000. $5,000 I would have
done. $5,000.
I would have sucked it up and sat in the middle seat.
Like, okay, you just paid for my trip to Europe.
Yeah.
All right, I will do that and go back.
But, like the guy had good seats and he paid for them and he's in there. And you know, Cam's got to get dialed in for that flight, man. He doesn't need to be on there offering cash to change seats. Maybe the guy wanted to sit next to his fiance too. So you never know. You never know the backstory. I did see people calling this a racial issue on Twitter over the weekend, as Twitter is wont to do. I did not find a bit of racism in this. I found it was purely comfort and comfort only. And I don't blame the guy one bit. It's his seat. He can do whatever he wants.
I don't blame Cam Newton for trying.
I don't either.
I mean, you've got to accept the decision. You can't be mad that the guy won't change seats with you. You just have to, it's his seat. And you have to know that for whatever reason, Cam Newton was in the back of the plane. And that's how fate assigned it. And if you can't switch, then you can't switch, and you just gotta suck it up.
Agreed.
I was the only time that I went to London, I was in the back of the plane on the way back. It was it was like the 353, one of those big giant planes where I was in the middle of the five. So the absolute worst possible place you
terrible
could be back. On a nonstop flight from London to San Diego, that was, I think, about 13 to 14 hours. Ooh, that was definitely one of the hardest flights that I've ever gone through.
It's terrible. I don't like flying for 2 hours, but much less, if you're gonna go transatlantic, dude, the only way to go is business class. The only way.
Yeah, I've never done that.
It's pretty awesome.
Very pricey.
I recommend it.
You're not like super frequent flyer.
No, it was a gift.
Upgrade with all of this.
It was a lovely, lovely honeymoon gift. I could never afford that on what we make here.
Totally understand that. So, I don't think it's a don't do this for Cam Newton. It's just,
You shoot your shot,
It got caught on video, so it went viral, and people were talking about it this week.
No word from Rob Long from the Big Bad Morning Show? I mean, they're big bad. They're big,
big
and bad.
And they're big and they're bad.
They're probably hungover, maybe.
Maybe this is the thing, they're bad. They promise to come on other shows and help them out, and then they don't call in. Is that what makes them big and bad? They're probably laughing like, got another one.
We got another
San
one.
Diego today.
Nailed them.
We are so big and bad. We're not going to be talking about Manny Machado with those two guys out in San Diego this morning.
Those two softies in the media.
That's all right. Just want to remind everyone, you can join Gwen and Chris this afternoon. They're going to be on the road at Buffalo Wild Wings in Mission Valley starting at 3 o'clock. And come by, support the Tony and Alicia Gwynn Foundation. I know part of your check for whatever you order is going to be given back to the Tony and Alicia Gwynn Foundation, which is fantastic. While you're there, you can also sign up to be the biggest fan. Tony and Chris are going to be giving away Giants Padres tickets this afternoon at Buffalo Wild Wings. Again, join Gwynn and Chris today, Buffalo Wild Wings in Mission Valley on 97.3, The Fan. And then the Padres are back in action. Two-game series against Baltimore. Another day off. And maybe that's what's frustrating about the sweep by the Pirates. Padres had the day off to get the bullpen rested before they went and started that series in Pittsburgh. They've got another day off today, so you feel like, hey, you should be able to go to as many arms as you want and not worry about it too much. You got another day off coming up on Thursday this week. So this should be when your bullpen would be like at its peak over these next few days. You don't have to worry so much about the usage, and yet they couldn't get it done. Three close games, and every single time the Padres ended up losing.
I will say, man, the lone bright spot, I guess, was Cal Quantrill. His work out of the pen was pretty good. And, you made the point off air of like, man, obviously with a crystal ball, you would have saved Cal Quantrill. But yeah, he looked good, man. Velo was up and he was really commanding the zone and looked really solid. So that's something to keep your eye on. A lot of people talking about Matt Strom going back to the bullpen as well, where his velo was up when he was a reliever. But then, you know, you got to find somebody to replace him in the rotation. So it's just, like you said, man, you're plugging holes in a dam right now.
Yeah, and it's it might not be something you can do this in-season at the trade deadline. It might be something that has to wait until the off-season. And I know that's frustrating to Padres fans who got it in their minds that this team might be able to compete for a playoff spot. And they're not out of it. They're 2.5 games back in the wild card. Now, they're in a group of, what did we count, like 9 teams that are still in, you know, within 3.5 games of each other in the wild card race?
Finger quotes contention.
Yeah, and you're not. I mean, you're a winning streak. You're a 6-game winning streak away from being probably in one of those wild card spots. So it would be foolish to say that the Padres are completely out of it right here. At the same time, it's a small chance when you're competing with 9 other teams. Well, there's a good chance another one of those teams is going to have a really hot second half. And even if you play well, you might come up short. And you've got no chance to win your division. You know, the Dodgers are running away with it. So the best you can possibly do is get yourself into a 1-game coin flip situation.
That is exactly what you're playing for.
It's not worth mortgaging the future to get a 10% chance at getting into a coin flip. To make the playoffs.
That's a really good point.
That's what I say.
Makes sense.
You know, it's still kind of, we're still in a wait till next year sort of mode, I think. We'll talk about it more. Want to get some of your phone calls. 833-288-0973. Talking Padres on the flagship. It's Ben and Woods right here on a Monday on 97.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.